I was reading from Art of Chanting. This is Chapter 3, Nama Parad. We're concluding the discussion of offenses with an additional offense, although it's not listed in Padma Parad, which lists the Dasa Parad, Nama Parad is 10, but our Mahajanacharyas, they add an additional one, and they go to such an extent, Bhaktivinoda at least, he says that this one, the 11th one, which is a speciality of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, which you don't find in other Sampradayas, this 11th offense is actually the root cause, what they say, mul karan, the root cause of all the other offenses. Very interesting, because in Ram Bhaktas, so many Vaishnavas, of course all Vaishnavas are chanting Vishnu Nam, Nam Sankirtan, or their particular Ishta Devata, but they don't have this warning or this injunction about the 11th offense. They don't have any idea about this. So this is a special, you can say, mercy from our acharyas. They say this also. The 11th offense is to be inattentive in chanting the holy name of the Lord. But you won't find that in Padma Puran or Skanda Puran. The different Puranas list these 10 offenses. Inattentive chanting is the 11th offense. Inattention while chanting is considered an offense. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that distraction, which technically means vikshepa, inattention or attraction to other things while chanting is the root cause of all offenses. So this is what inattention means. In other words, to not be, Krishna is attractive, his name is attractive, but due to our anarthas, naparads, our ignorance and our sinful posture, we're not attracted to the sweetness and beauty of Krishna's nam-rup. So therefore, we have to be attracted to something because we're an attracted entity. We're a dependent entity. We're a finite entity. The Atma is finite and dependent by nature, by constitution. So something that's finite and dependent will always be seeking something, some dependence. And we're dependent, so we're seeking someone to depend on. And we're finite, so we're seeking some shelter. We're finite, so we're seeking some shelter or some protection. So in the same sense, in the same line, the Atma, the Jiva, is also an attracted unit. We have the tendency to be attracted to something. Attraction is a principle of life. If you're dead, there's no attraction. when you're dead, there's no more attraction. Men are not dead men are not attracted to living ladies or dead ones. And dead ladies are not attracted to living men or dead men. It just doesn't work. So this attractive feature is part of the Atma. It's constitutional. So when we're chanting the holy name, if our attraction, our inherent attractive power of attraction is not moving towards the Nam and the form of the Nam and the qualities of the Nam and the pastimes of the Nam, then it has to go somewhere. Attraction has to move. We move on the basis of attraction. The Atma is always moving on the basis of attraction. In fact, every Anu. Anu means atom. And Atma means atom of consciousness. So an Anu is a material atom. And an Atma is a spiritual atom. Anu. Anora niyan mahato mahiyan. Krishna says, I'm smaller than the smallest and greater than the biggest. So if you look at the physical level, even the Anus are moving on the basis of attraction. So this is the point, that attraction is part of reality. From the atomic level to the inorganic level to the organic level, sentient, insentient, everyone's moving by attraction. So we can't help but be attracted. We can't help it. So our mind is always moving. Our mind is always moving. Our thoughts are always moving. And they're always searching for something to be attracted to. Like as we were saying in the level of the atom, the physicist has said one atom, the neutron is attracted to the proton, and they're moving around in orbits based on some attractive energy, some type of gravity or some pull or some attractive forces. They use all these terms. Then if they look in the stellar regions of the cosmos, then they see the planets are turning around each other and are moving together in relation to different attractive forces. Even huge planetary bodies, huge bodies. A planet is a huge body, and one planet is attracted to another planet. So here we have a little body, and one body is attracted to another body. That's the cause of the problems. But it's not the attraction is not the problem, but it's the object of our attraction. We are meant to be attracted. We should direct our attraction to Krishna. So he's coming before us as the holy name. So inattention means to not fix your attention or not to fix your attractive principle on the holy name. In other words, our mind is going here. You know, say vikshape. Vikshape means inattention or distraction. My mind is going somewhere else. Oh, what's in the market? Or someone told me they're having a sale here or there. I should go here or there. And so many ideas and thoughts flood our minds. And then we let our attraction go there. We allow our attraction to run there. And then if it happens to be when we're chanting the holy name, then our attraction is withdrawn. Our attraction is withdrawn from the holy name and redirected to some other non-spiritual thought, contemplation, plan, action, person, idea. And then we become gripped by the aparad known as inattention. So inattention is the most common impediment to pure devotion. So Bhaktivinoda says that this is attraction to other things while chanting japa is the root cause of all offenses. Harinam Chintamani, he states, distraction in chanting produces a type of illusion, causing serious offenses against the holy name that are difficult to overcome. This illusion leads to craving for wealth, woman, position. Woman means the enjoying principle, so it can be man or woman, depending on your viewpoint. Craving for wealth, women, position, success, and cheating. When these material attractions cover the heart, one loses interest in chanting the holy name. Prabhupada stated, if you become inattentive, that is offensive. You should know this. Try to avoid. Krishna is giving us a chance to meet him in so many ways. We can meet Krishna in his holy name. It's page 52, right? We can meet Krishna in his form, in his pastimes, in his associates, and in his vishishta means his speciality or his vibhutis or his energies. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes three types of inattention under the category of pramad. Pramad means prakrishtarina mada, means complete excessive madness or intoxication. So inattention indicates a type of madness or a type of intoxication. In other words, we would consider someone mad to some extent, or at least highly inattentive. If we sat down with someone and we're talking to them and we're having a conversation and we're looking at them and they turn their back to us and look at the wall and start saying, well, today I'm going to make this for lunch and then I'm going to make that for lunch. And then after lunch I have to go to Bloy Bazaar and I have to buy some things. And then my mother wants me to go to Mathura. And we're looking at the person's back and they're looking to the wall and they're saying all these things. We're thinking, what's with this person? I was having a conversation and all of a sudden they turn their back and they're saying all these things and all these plans and all these things they're going to do. So I think maybe the person's a little bit puggle, a little wacko, a little crazy. So this is what's happening. We call, oh yeah, Krishna, come. I want to glorify you. I want to sing your name. I want to praise you and serve you and see you and associate with you. Okay. Then he comes. And then we're chanting, Hare Krishna. And then we start floating off here and there in distraction. They say, wait, hey, what about me? Oh, Krishna, I forgot about you. I got a little antenna. My mobile phone. Got a call, sorry. And he sits there patiently, maybe for a short time. And he says, well, anyway, he's pretty preoccupied with his distractive thoughts, so I think I better move on somewhere else right about now. So then he's personal, so he goes, he leaves. And then when you come back and say, oh, Hare Krishna, where's Krishna? By that time, you already finished 16 rounds of whatever. And you just hang up your beads and you go your way. And Krishna already went his way long ago. After the first round, he already left. The other 15 rounds were just you and your thoughts. The holy name was background music for your thoughts. Like mood music for your shopping. When you go in the malls, they have mood music. They have these malls, in these shopping malls, they have this nice music, bebop type of passionate music to get everybody in a buying spirit. Whatever. Buy this, buy that. So the chanting of Hare Krishna becomes background music for our daydreaming, our background music for our window shopping, our mental shopping. Krishna, it's like a tape you play to entertain yourself while you're daydreaming and searching the landscape or something significant to think about. So he said, this is a type of madness. In other words, he says, it is definitely a symptom of insanity if one begs Krishna to come by calling out his names and then simultaneously ignores him and pays no attention to him. The three types of inattention mentioned in Harinam Chintamani are apathy, laziness, and distraction. So these are here. I just have to see my notes a second. One is apathy, which is indifference. Okay. So what is this? In Sanskrit, it's audasinya. Audasinya. The heart of a beginner or a neophyte devotee is usually infested with many material attachments. At the time of chanting, a devotee, a beginning devotee, will feel a strong attraction to them because they are our friends. Krishna is some new guy on the block. He's just moved in. And these other friends have been living with them. We've been living with them for a long time, probably lifetimes. Lust, anger, greed, envy, and variations of those in forms of different desires and hankerings and longings and lamentations. So now this person, Krishna, steps into the picture. Oh, who is this guy? Anyway, he makes some kind of presence in our mind, some kind of introduction. But it's not very powerful. He's not very prominent. So the attraction to him is very weak. And our sanskars, our bhog sanskars, and our impressions from somebody misdeeds are very, very powerful. And they command attention, they demand attention, they force us to be attentive to them, especially while chanting, because they feel insulted. Our sanskars feel insulted that we have another lover. They feel envious. Who is this Krishna? Now you're trying to pay attention to him? After so many lifetimes you paid attention to me, lust, anger, greed, calm, throat. Now you're trying to show some interest in this blue fellow? Hey, come on with me. So the mind really drags us in that direction, the material direction. So at the time of chanting, the devotee will feel a strong attraction to his anarthas and his sanskaras. And this will prevent him from putting his heart into the holy name. Even if such a devotee chants 64 rounds, he will still remain apathetic and derive no taste from chanting. For the indifferent chanter, it is a Herculean task to complete 16 rounds without interruption. Herculean means difficult, very difficult. It's like, wow, it's like 16 rounds is like climbing Mount Everest or something. It's quite difficult. So now what's the remedy? It's very similar. Most of these remedies are the same. Sarasanga, sarasanga, sarashastrahoi, lavamacha, sarasanga, sarvasiddhihoi. Chant the holy name with advanced Vaishnavas while observing, this is the answer to your question, how to understand, while observing their concentration and enthusiasm for japa. Inspired by seeing their example, one will abandon his apathy and fix his mind on the holy name. Gradually, the honey sweetness of the holy name will inundate the heart, means flood the heart, and intoxicate the mind with eagerness for more nectar, nectar of the holy name. It's also extremely favorable to chant before Tulsi Devi or in Vrindavan at one of Radha Madhav's Leela Stalis, means places of their pastimes. Go to Seva Kunj. Of course, you should go on a day when all the monkeys are outside eating carrots or chickpeas, or they're on some kind of mela, some monkey mela is going on. So maybe they won't be there. Or you go to Nidivan, or a nice place, Vamchivat, Dir Samir, Yamunapulin. There are many places that are still rather quiet, that are very prominent Leela Stalis, or Jiva Goswami Gera at Shamakund. Many places here and there around Govardhan, Vrindavan, they're very powerful places. Another way to remove apathy is to sit alone in a locked room. Why locked? So you can't get out. The room should be locked from the outside. The Indian style lock, not the Western style. You tell your friend, please latch the door. Because I had one friend in Kartik, when we used to do Kartik Vrata, we stayed in a guest house. And he told me in the morning, he said, after Mangalarti, please lock my door from outside. Because he was a very famous person. And being in the guest house makes one quite accessible, especially during Kartik. So he said, please lock my door, and then at lunchtime, you know, you come and open it up. So I would lock the door. Of course, the light would be on in the window over his door. There was a window, and you could see the light on, the fan going. And so I would lock the door at 5 o'clock and open the door at 1 o'clock. And people then would come to my room and say, we're so-and-so, this and that. Because my door didn't have a lock on the outside. So then I would lock my door and go on the roof of the guest house and hide from his people. Because he dumped everything on me, right? So this is a very good technique. If you want to fake everybody out. And here I did a system when I made that place. I made a door in the back wall. And I thought if I didn't have a chokey door, I would go out the front and lock the door and come around in the gate in the back wall. And people say, oh, Maharaj is not here. Because no one's going to know about the gate in the back wall. You have to go out through the middle. You can't even get there. So you have the secret way to even get through the back wall. So the idea is that arrange your life in such a way that you can concentrate. Sit alone in a locked room and carefully meditate on the name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends covering the head and face with a cloth to facilitate full concentration on the transcendental sound vibration. I guess all the ladies in Braj should be like really good chanters because they're walking around all day and night with their head and faces covered. But their minds are not so much thinking of the holy name, I suppose. So this idea is that our eyes won't be looking here and there. As one cultivates attraction and taste for the name, the offense of inattention and apathy will automatically vanish. So we're attracted to the things that are tasty. Anything that's tasty, we're attracted to. Tasty food. If we see some stool on, someone comes with a plate with stool on it. So here, this is nice. You take it. Not today. I don't feel much attraction there. Well, they come with some plate, Mahaprasadam, very nicely arranged on the plate, and very colorful, and Tulsi Mandris, and then you just, you know, eat it before you even look at it. You're already salivating and trembling, and hair standing on end, just to see the beauty of it and the color of it and the fragrance of it and appreciate how it's the mercy of Krishna. And you can't wait to attentively honor that Mahaprasadam with great attraction and great attention. I've never seen anyone fall asleep while taking Mahaprasadam. I've never seen anyone become distracted while taking Mahaprasadam. I've never seen. But there's no greater Mahaprasadam than the holy name of Krishna. This is the greatest Mahaprasad. Because it's Maha. Prasad means grace, mercy, generosity, love, kindness, nourishment. All of these meanings are there. So it's called the Maha Mantra. So the Maha Mantra means, the Maha part of the mantra means it's Maha Prasad. It's the greatest mercy. So if it's Maha Prasad, it must be tasty. It must be attractive. It must be colorful. It must be variegated. Chitranam. Must be so much variegatedness in the holy name, so much variety. It's pleasurable to look at, it's pleasurable to taste, pleasurable to hear, pleasurable to serve. So it's a matter of taste. As taste increases, then our attraction increases. So the second of three divisions of inattention is called laziness. And most people know what that's about. And interesting that the Sanskrit word for laziness is jadya. Jadya means to be like a stone. Jada rup, stone form. Like Jad Bharat, he was seen to be so dull. He was like a stone. He was just like inert. He wouldn't talk. He seemed to be deaf and dumb. Jad Bharat. He was not proactive. He wasn't proactive or interactive. He wasn't proactive or interactive. He was withdrawn, like a turtle, a kachua, pulls his arms and legs and head inside his shell when he's attacked. This land turtle, at least. Takes shelter of his hard shell so no one can bite his head or his legs. So Jad Bharat was like that. He only showed a hard external shell. Because he was merged in Brahman, so he didn't interact with the world. So he was Jad Bharat. So this is jadya, laziness, to be stone-like, hard, unemotional, unmovable, dull, heavy. Inattention arising from laziness prevents one from relishing the nectar of the holy name. Laziness means, what does laziness in chanting japa mean? Laziness means chanting with a dull mind, stone-like mind, pausing in the middle of a round, that means stopping, to do something else, or interrupting japa to take rest. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Beep, beep. Oh, what's that? Some message on my cell phone. What is this one? What's wrong? Dear Preeti, I'm coming for lunch. Please cook for me. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. What will I cook? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna. Maybe Puris? No. My father's not eating Puris because of heart condition. Chapatis? No, maybe chapatis. But should I put ghee on? No, he told. Last time he said, no ghee. And so then 5, 8, 10 rounds goes on the lunch program. So this cell phone is the greatest enemy of japa. This is the 12th offense. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his time period, he added, because in Satyuga they couldn't imagine someone could be inattentive. Padma Prana, all these pranas are very old. Prana means old. So in the old days, people had the power of concentration. It was very common. What's he doing? Oh, he's meditating. Okay. But nowadays, if someone says, what's he doing? He's meditating. It means he's sleeping. Someone's in a temple like this. Oh, he's chanting his Gayatri. Really? It looks like... He's meditating on the Gayatri Mata. Tri Sandhyam Vandanam. He's doing Anik. But it looks more to me... Are you sure he's meditating? He hasn't moved for 25 minutes. And usually the head should be straight when you meditate, not like this. The Susumna nerve gets pinched when you bend your head. It has to be like some straight so the energy will flow. So when we say meditate, it means sleep. But in previous yugas, they couldn't understand that someone could not be attentive. They had great powers of concentration, great powers of meditation. In Kali Yuga, Mandasamandamatiyo, people can't concentrate for 1 second. On anything. So the modern advertisers and televisions, radios, they take advantage of people's lack of concentration to grab their minds. Concentrate here. Boom. Oh. You know, it's loud music and color and action, and then all your attention goes there, and they fully are grabbing you, and then they say, buy this. And you go, oh yeah, okay, you got me. I'm fully concentrated. My eyes are with you, my ears are with you, my mind is with you, my heart's with you, everything's with this advertisement. Now, I go and buy that product. So they control me by catching me with unlimited colors and unlimited sounds, unlimited forms and bodies and gyrating naked ladies and gyrating naked men and, you know, somehow or other capture me where it hurts, you know, for all the senses and force me to buy some useless product. So the advertisers and businessmen of Kali Yuga, they take advantage of people's mandamati, or their madness and their inattention. So this is the cell phone. We have to add this now that inattentive chanting or inattention has been added to the list of 10 aparadhas to make 11. That was in the 1800s. But now it's the 21st century, so we have to add the 12th offense. So in the future, they'll be reciting in the morning in ISKCON, there are 12 offenses to be avoided while chanting the holy name of the Lord. Everyone please repeat. The 11th offense is being attentive while chanting the holy name of the Lord. The 12th offense is to not turn your cell phone off while chanting the holy name of the Lord. Not on silent either. Off. O-F-F. Off. The 12th offense against the holy name of the Lord is to not turn your cell phone off. Oh, but I have something very important. Acha? Something more important than Radha and Krishna? Really? Because Prabhupada in numerous places said the most important service, given the most important service and vital and urgent service that I've given to all my disciples is to chant 16 rounds a day. This is the most important service. This is the primary service. Deity worship, puja, cooking, husband, wife, babies, preaching, this, that, everything, forget it. It's secondary. It's auxiliary. It's supportive. It's not primary. And he said, this should be done the first thing in the morning. Sometimes he said, you can search through the quotations because we didn't prepare for this book. Someplace Prabhupada said, your rounds should be chanted before sunrise. Your rounds should be chanted before breakfast. Your rounds should be chanted before Mangalarti. So these are like the early points. Then the latest one that Prabhupada ever said is, your rounds must be chanted by noon. 12 o'clock. I mean, that means noon in Prabhupada's book. When the sun is up. 12 o'clock. No, I don't mean midnight. In the morning. Daylight. High noon. And he never said anything after that in terms of times. You can experiment. Try different times. Try getting up at 2 and finishing rounds before Mangalarti, 16 rounds. And see how you feel when you go to Mangalarti. Do it. You come in a temple. You just see how clear most everybody else in the temple is, like totally in the modes. Everyone else is like, where am I? They're trying to surface from being under the water. They're trying to go up and get a few breaths. So, and you come in, you're like flying already. And everyone's like, what's with this guy? He's so jacked up. If you're really chanting 16 nice rounds in front of Tulsi or Thakurji. You're so enthused and Mangalarti and deities are dancing. Deities are dancing. It looks so attractive and beautiful and sweet. It's a whole different experience because we did many, many times we've done like that. Get up at 2 and chant 20 rounds for Mangalarti or more. It depends on how much you're sleepy when you're chanting. And then you say, wow, this is really nice. I wish I could do this forever. And then, okay, and then the modes come, and this comes, and that comes, and it gets sick, and you know, it goes like this. But at least try. It's not like, there's something called complacency. It means we get into a groove, because all living entities are creatures of habit. The bird comes every day and lands on the ledge, and passes stool, and it falls on top of your floor. And every day it comes there, and every day you go, ciao! And he flies away, and he comes back later. He's a creature of habit. That's habit. He does the same thing in the same place every day. From the bird to the ant to the dog to the cat, Not to speak of human beings, we're creatures of habit. So once we get into some groove or some bad habit or a habit, that's it, that's us. We are our habits. My habit is I take rest every night at midnight, and I get up every day at 7. So wherever you go, you're going to do that. You go to Vrindavan, you'll take rest at midnight, then you'll get up at 7. You go to Bombay, you'll take rest at midnight, you get up at 7. You go to Europe, you'll take rest at midnight, you get up at 7. This is your habit. And once you change your habit, then wherever you go, it's like I was traveling with this Brahmin, this Mr. Vyas, and his lifetime's habit is to take rest at 10 and get up at 4. And his son, his Brahmin son, his habit is to take rest at 10 and get up at 7. And so all three of us are traveling together. And then and when his father says, get up, he lazy bum. We're all up chanting. And he's there, oh. Because he had this habit. And he couldn't break it over 3 or 4 days yatra. So we have the same thing, habits with chanting. Oh, I somehow get my rounds done here, a little snick-snick here, a little ram-ram there. Snick-snick, ram-ram, shish, rish, 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 snick-snick, ram-ram. So and cell phone, boy, cell phones is the greatest thing that ever happened, because before cell phones came, I used to try to chant a little attentively. Because they didn't have there wasn't anything to be attracted to. But now I'm so happy I have this cell phone, because now I can dovetail my distraction tendency. I already had a strong tendency to be distracted or attracted to anything. Now his cell phone, it's really the mercy of Kali. Kali is so kind to help my chanting. He's so kind. And I'm very cooperative with Kali, because I keep my cell phone on 24 hours a day. Because I don't want to miss anything. There might be something really important coming. Krishna may be sending me a message. Or maybe Radha. Maybe they'll be sending me a picture of their latest pastimes. With my phone I can receive pictures. So this is a test. People always ask, "What Maharaj, what does it mean to surrender?" I always say like this. What does it mean to surrender? Surrender, that's where bhakti begins. And if you keep surrendering, your bhakti keeps growing. If you stop surrendering, bhakti dies. Guru Parashraya. It begins with taking shelter and surrendering at the feet of Guru. Right? And then every day we have to surrender. And every day we get an opportunity to surrender. This is a big one. Like telling someone to turn off their cell phone for 2 hours, you say, "Listen, Varsha, I'm going to cut off your right arm. Can you give me your right arm?" That's how people feel. They actually feel like that. "Turn off my cell phone for 2 hours? My God." And see how Maya works. What about 10 years ago? Did you have a cell phone to turn off? No. But now it's become you. It's become you. Why? Because of Mamta. Because you say, "This is mine." Mamta. The principle of Mamta. Possession. Aham Mameti. This is my cell phone. This is me. If I turn this off, you're killing me. You're turning me off. You're cutting me off. If I turn the cell phone, this is I can't. And people go to this far. They'll say, "I can't live without my cell phone." What's the fact? Oh, and then Kali gives them nice arguments, nice tarka. "You need it for your business. You need it for your family. You have to keep track. Where's your wife and how's your kids? Emergency may come." Really? What about your father and grandfather never had emergencies? They never had any business. They never had any children. They never raised any families. No. That was different. What was different? Difference was that it wasn't there, so he had no mamta for it, so he didn't have one. Now it's here, and you have mamta for it, and you have it. And it's your everything. It is your everything. I am Nokia. Nokia asmi. Nokia das me. Nokia das asmi. I am servant of Nokia. What is your name? My name is Nokia Dasi. Acha Nandabad. What is your name? My name is Nokia Das. Oh, really? You got the same name as me? Yeah, we're all like this. There's millions of us. Oh, my name is Sony. Oh, Sony Das. Or there's some different types of phones, I guess, out there. I don't know. Can't keep track. So this is the big thing. It's really a big thing. Sometimes we call some people in the morning, some devotees, and it says, the hutch phone you've called, it's turned off. And I think, hallelujah, Hare Krishna. That means he's chanting Hare Krishna. That's the proof. He must be chanting Hare Krishna. Later I call and I say, your phone was turned off. Oh Maharaj, I turn off my phone, I'm chanting japa. I said, well, all right, you're my friend. This is very good. I can see that you want to serve Krishna. This is the proof. Simple as that. Bottom line is this. And if you have any argument against it, it means that you're just bogus. It means you're an agent of Kali. But. But I need it. Really. What do you need? Do you need the holy name or a cell phone? So you have to think. Because me, my cell phone is off every day, all the time practically. Except on Thursdays. And I forget to even turn on. Because it's always off, I sometimes forget to turn on Thursday. I forgot. And I turn on Friday and all these messages come. Hey, you stupid, you didn't turn your phone. So I remember to turn it on. And then people say, because I say, oh look, I'll turn it on every Thursday between 4 and 6. And I forget what day it is. And then look, oh my God, it's Friday. Oh, I forgot. I better turn on my phone and see what happened. Well, anyway, next week, another Thursday is coming. And turn on my phone. Delete all the messages. Turn on my phone. Back to the holy name. Better luck next time. But I know you're all very special people. You're all very different people. You have heavy agendas. And you're highly connected in this world. And have so many important engagements. I mean, I'm just some like worthless person. But it was just true. But the basic idea is that you can see how much distraction we have to the holy name when we turn our cell phone off. Because then we're chanting, oh my God, what do I do with my mind? I'm searching for the telephone, but I have to look to the holy name. So this is, we have to watch for this laziness. Dozing, not careful to pronounce Krishna's holy name. So clearly, this is also included here. And laziness. To doze means like this when we're chanting. To not be careful to pronounce Krishna's names clearly. The remedy is to associate with Vaishnavas who do not waste time with useless talks or acts, but who constantly chant and meditate upon the holy name. One will receive the mercy and enthusiasm to conquer the lazy mind by following in the footsteps of advanced Vaishnavas. The third point is distraction, vikshepa, which is in general, distraction and inattention is called vikshepa, and then also is one of the particular ones. Allowing the senses and mind to wander to sense objects. Distraction and chanting begets illusion, or gives birth to illusion, the cause of all the forms of inattentive chanting, such as laziness and apathy. Distraction also produces many offenses and keeps one from giving up attraction. If you're distraction, in other words, if we're distract while we're chanting the holy name, many offenses will come, and we won't be able to give up our attraction to sense objects like men or women, wealth, position, success, and a cheating propensity. Absorption in these items of attachment results in distraction. Of why we're chanting, if we're absorbed in position or money or thinking about money matters or our position or our job or whatever or our achievements, success, or cheating or doing something bad or trying to get some advantage. If we're absorbed in these things, then that will be, in these attachments, we'll be distracted. An inability to concentrate on anything else. At this stage, the mind is tuned into worldly things and not really hearing the holy name at all. The remedy to conquer distraction is to make a concerted effort to drive out such attractions from the mind by diligently following the rules of Vaishnava behavior. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a practical remedy to remove the disease of distraction. He says that one can increase his chanting. His taste for chanting, in other words, Nam Ruchi. So he gives some practical guidelines here. Four things he's saying. He says one can increase his namruchi by enthusiastically observing festivals, festival days such as Ekadasi, Janmashtami, Radhashtami, and various Vaishnava Tirobhavs. On Ekadasi, for example, one can take a vow to not eat or drink or even a drop of water. One can then pass the whole day and night singing the glories of the Lord and the association of Rupanuga Vaishnavas, preferably in a holy dham, Mayapur or Vrindavan. So one is to observe festivals, and then while doing that, the observation is to sing, associate with devotees, and hear and chant, and sing about Krishna all night. And these, the Yadavar has released some new video type, BCDs, I guess they're called. BCDs about Srila Prabhupada. And I think the title of the series is called Remembering Srila Prabhupada. And he's broken it down by segments of years, 1965 to 1970 and 70 to 72. And he has three of them so far I've seen portions of them. And he shows footage, and sometimes there's speaking in the, and it's like a movie with speaking, and sometimes it's just footage. You see the movie and you hear devotees that were there in that movie or that place with Prabhupada. And they have been interviewed after the fact. In other words, these movies were taken in 65, 66, 68, whatever. Then people that were there in that movie were interviewed recently, shown the movie, then interviewed. Oh, what's happening here? So in 1965, it shows footage of Prabhupada sitting with Yogi Mishra, Mr. Mishra, in New York, in his apartment. And Prabhupada's sitting in one chair, and Yogi Mishra's in another, and a group of elderly, middle-aged ladies wearing tights and tights, whatever you call it, tights, pants, and shirt, or whatever you call it. And they're doing yoga exercises in the living room of the person. They're the yoga students of Yogi Mishra. And he was teaching them Vedanta and Hatha Yoga, Mayavadi philosophy and Hatha Yoga. So then you see this footage. And then there's one lady speaking. She said, although I was only 30 years old, Guruji, he made me the ashram mata. I was like the mother of the ashram. And then she's saying, but Swamiji would come and cook lunch for Guruji. She called, Swamiji is Prabhupada and Guruji is her guru. And Guruji became so healthy from Swamiji's cooking, and he was very happy. And they would often talk together in Bengali, and it was mostly ladies, I think all ladies you see in the footage, doing the Hatha Yoga. And we would be doing our Hatha Yoga, and Swamiji and Guruji would be sitting on the couch together, speaking Bengali, totally absorbed in our conversation, and laughing and seemingly having a good time. Then afterwards, we would have some class, or other days we'd have class in Vedanta. And then after the class, Swamiji would also come, and Guruji would ask Swamiji to give some talk. And then he would always laugh. He'd say, now Swamiji, you keep it to 1/2 hour. You only speak a half hour. And then Swamiji would say, yes, 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 of course. And then Swamiji would go on for about an hour and a half. And Guruji would sit back in the chair and just smile, because of course he knew English. And he would just listen and admire Bhaktivedanta Swami's preaching, and he wouldn't cut him off. But every time when it was class, and he said, Swamiji, now listen, you were speaking too long, now you keep it down to a half hour. And Swamiji says, yes, yes, I'll keep it to a half hour. And then he would speak for 1/2 hour. So Swamiji was always speaking so long, and they had such a sweet relationship. And after several months, this is the lady speaking, this American lady, I felt so much love for your Swamiji. So one day I asked Swamiji, I said, Swamiji, can I give you an embrace? I want to embrace you. I feel so much love for you. I want to embrace you. And Swamiji said, yes. You don't read all this in the Lila Amrita, right? So then Swamiji gave me one of those Indian type embraces where you embrace shoulder to shoulder. I put my arm around him, and he put, and it's like, it's a shoulder to shoulder. It's not like breast to breast, which is a kind of, pretty intimate type of man-woman thing. Of course, Swamiji is 70 years old, and the lady 30. But nevertheless, Prabhupada always observed the strictest protocol. And being a father, having fathered 10 children, Prabhupada produced 10 children during his Grihastha time, and many of them died at birth or after 1 or 2 years. So after it was all said and done, five survived. One went pagal around the streets of Calcutta, and the other four basically settled down. So this is the fact, although Lilamrita says he had four. But his own son came to Mayapur, and you ask anybody from Mayapur, they know that Prabhupada had 10 children. You know, Jananivas or Pankajangri or Satadanya, because they met Vrindavan Day and Mohan Day, and they told him. So if anyone knows how many children Prabhupada had, his own children know. At any rate, so then Prabhupada gave her this embrace, shoulder to shoulder. So it's amazing things are told there. So one thing I was hearing, because it says here, if we're inattentive, we're suffering from distraction, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says we should observe Ekadasi Utsav, gather together with a group of devotees and stay up all night. And so then the devotees, it was about New Vrindavan, this portion. It was 1970. And said, so this was Janmashtami. Of course, in those days, whenever Janmashtami was there, Radhashtami, it was the standard that everyone did nirjal. No one ate anything. No, none of the devotees, this was just the standard. This was what we were told. So no one ate any food. No one drank any water the whole day. And this is 1970. Right, and everybody's practically hippies. And they don't know any philosophy. There's no books. There's nothing hardly. It's just Bhagavad Gita and maybe, I don't know what. That was about it. I didn't even know there was Bhagavad Gita at that time. There had some other Bhagavad Gita. Dr. Radhakrishnan's Bhagavad Gita that Prabhupada was giving classes on. Hardly any books. Just there was the first canto of Bhagavatam that Prabhupada brought with him. A few copies, because he only bought 200 sets, and there were already so many devotees by 1970. Maybe teachings of Lord Chaitanya had come out by that time, and Nectar Devotion, a couple books. So, but the devotees, he said, this was a standard with everyone. Everyone observed, everyone in ISKCON in 1970, every single person observed nirjal. And we did nirjal, we didn't, that means, and then she's explaining the interview, the devotee, Govinda Dasi or whoever it was. She said that nirjal means that we, none of the devotees didn't eat anything, and they didn't drink any water, all the way until midnight on Janmashtami. Then we would take some drink, and she said, it was lemonade, had a little black pepper in it, lemon, and some sugar. Everyone just had one or a cup or so. Then the next day, on Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja, we'd do nirjal, we would fast again, and then after Prabhupada's observance on Vyasa Puja, we would have a feast. No, this is how austere and how dedicated the devotees were in the early days when there was no books, there wasn't 90 books to read and so much Vyaichi and so much Tattva and so much. This is just, this was a standard. I was like, wow, I didn't know that. And it's not in Lilamrita. That's the point that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, try it and see what happens. Observe nirjal and be with the devotees. Along with chanting japa, kirtan, and bhajans, which one can read and discuss shastras like Srimad Bhagavatam. As the ears eagerly drink the sweet nectar of Astakali Lila bhajans, sung by expert kirtaniyas. This is if someone is observing Ekadasi with a good group of devotees. The mind will become completely enchanted and fixed on the transcendental vibration. The serene devotee will now steadily chant the holy name in a joyous mood, forever free from the offensive inattention. Praying for Krishna's mercy is another good way to overcome distraction. The compassionate Lord will help a sincere sadhak. Pray to Krishna to help you chant distinctly and attentively. Everything is possible if the mind focuses on Krishna. This is a sample prayer. Everything is possible if the mind focuses on Krishna. Please, Krishna, I don't chant very well. And I can't concentrate. Today my deviant mind refuses to follow my direction. In other words, we're telling our mind, listen, mind, stop all these stupid thoughts and stop all these ideas. Fix yourself on the holy name. Just embrace the name, accept the name, serve the name, hear the name, meditate on the name. The mind is saying, no, forget it. Hey, you do it. I'm not doing it. I said, wait a minute, it's only you and I'm just trying to control you. No, then watch me now. See what I do. You're coming with me. I'm not coming with you. You're coming with me. But I want to chant the holy name attentively. Forget it. Answer your cell phone. Go to the window. Look out the window. There's a dog barking. You have to see the important business, why that dog is barking. It's very important. Anybody say, no, but what's that have to do with my chanting? The dog is chanting and he's doing his chanting. Let me do my chanting. And if I do look out and I see the dog, barking, And then I see that he's barking at another dog. And then how will that promote my chanting? That'll really, now that'll solve my problem. Now I'll really chant Shuddha Nam. Because I saw, I remember once I visited Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj in Mayapur, and he was lying in bed. And he said, "See out there, out my window, see that coconut tree?" Because out his window there's this coconut, this Nariyal palm, the coconut tree. I said, "Yes." And he said, "I'm lying here, and I'm supposed to be chanting 3 lakhs a day. But when I lie here chanting, I look at that coconut tree, and I see there's a nest there in that tree. The birds have made a nest. Now I'm watching, the birds are coming and going. And now after a few weeks, now there's baby birds have been born." But he said, in this way, I can see that we have to ask ourselves, that I should be so much absorbed in my chanting, I don't even know there's a coconut tree outside my window. Of course, he was just talking to me, not to him. He's obviously absorbed in this holy name. But he was making a point. When I said, he said, "Where do you live?" And I said, "In Vrindavan." He said, "Do you know what the monkeys are doing there?" I said, "Oh yes, I know everything. I can write a book about the monkeys." He said, "So?" He said, "You're not, then you're going to become a monkey." He said, "You're supposed to be absorbed in your Nam when you're in Vrindavan. How do you know what the monkeys are doing?" I said, "No, but they're so cute. My mind runs there. I want to see the monkeys, not the holy name." He said, "Yeah, that's what." It's so funny the way he asked. He said, "You're staying in Vrindavan?" And then he said, do you look at the monkeys?" That's the first thing he said to me. I couldn't figure out what he was saying, where his line of thought was. Then he brought it back to chanting, and he said, "So, you have to forget. You have to forget there's any monkeys in Vrindavan. You don't see them. They're not. You fix your mind on the holy name." And then I, because I'm a little bit of a smart aleck, I said, "Maharaj, my mind is a monkey. The biggest monkey is not outside the window. Well, it's inside the window. The biggest monkey is inside. Is behind two windows, right? Behind, I have two blue windows. Behind those two blue windows, there's one black monkey. And the blue windows are my eyes. And the black monkey is my desires, material desires." It's more like a gorilla, an orangutan. The black orangutan, usually they're saffron, they're like brahmacharis. They're orange in color, orangutan. There's a big black gorilla. Gorilla, as Prabhupada said. Gorilla. "Please help me, please allow me to taste the full nectar of the name. Without your mercy, my dear Krishna, there is no hope at all for such a fool as me." 11th offense rectification. In addition to the suggestions given above about Ekadasi, etc., one can remove the offense of inattention by chanting the holy name with great enthusiasm. I guess that means you jump up and down while you're chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Even if one, this is from Bhaktivinoda's Bhakti Alok, even if one gives up all other namaparads, if he is still inattentive, he can never have attraction for the holy names. If one maintains his enthusiasm for devotional service, one will never become apathetic, lazy, or distracted in chanting the holy names. By enthusiastically chanting the holy names, one can quickly come to the platform of nishtha and devotional service. Summary on overcoming distraction. When chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one should not be restless, thinking. Actually, the Times of India, at one point someone submitted this book and took to some newspapers in India when this book came out, one of my friends, and I got review in 6 different newspapers, including India Today magazine. This book was reviewed there, and also in the Times of India. And what they did, they extracted some quotes from the book and actually published them in a newspaper. And they put this one, this was...
magazine?
Excuse me?
In a magazine?
There's one thing called India Today, which is a magazine. It was reviewed there. There's a newspaper called Pioneer, and there's like 5 or 6 newspapers and one magazine. India Today is a magazine. But these other 5 were newspapers. Times of India is a newspaper. I have the clippings upstairs, and color picture also. Color picture of the book, and it was quite a nice thing they did. Free advertising. So they took out different quotes. So this is one of the ones they took out. This whole page, up to, I'm going to read it. They thought this, they read, I don't know, they skinned the book, or somehow they thought that this was interesting. And the title they use is, "Mahamantra Controls the Mind," or something. While chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one should not be restless, thinking, I have to do this, or I have to go there. I have to answer my cell phone. This is an edited version. I must finish my rounds quickly so I can solve a pressing problem. Just chant japa. Don't think about business, personal needs, or family concerns. Tolerate the impish mind. Remain aloof, unaffected, and undisturbed. Krishna will personally adjust everything if we surrender to His holy names. There is actually only one problem facing everyone. How can we attain Krishna Prem? Now, can you imagine? This is printed in the Times of India. It's like millions of people read that newspaper. It's not a small thing. And they're not really a religious newspaper. And it's on page, I don't know, 7 or something. It was on a very prominent page. Or it was on the book review page or something like that. Once a disciple asked, how will it be possible, Prabhupada, for a man whose mind is clouded? Clouded means filled, you know, like cloudy day. You can't see the clear sky. So clouded. To constantly chant Hare Krishna. A man who is always thinking, these are the clouds. A man, in other words, clouds cover the blue sky, so all these extraneous thoughts and ideas cover the pure mind. So we can't concentrate. A man who is always thinking thoughts about family, friends, country, and nation. Prabhupada replied, yes, think of, but at the same time chant. In other words, think of all these stupid things. Two things will go on, and this chanting of Hare Krishna will conquer. As Maya is forcing you to drag you from Krishna consciousness, you also force Maya by chanting Hare Krishna. There is a fight, and Maya will go away. One must set aside some time to peacefully remember Krishna's names. During these precious moments alone with the Lord, one should concentrate all his desires, thoughts, and feelings on Krishna's divine names, forms, qualities, pastimes, and associates. Attentive japa pleases the Lord and ultimately solves all problems. This part was in the newspaper, and the other parts too. It's pretty amazing that one should take some time to be alone with the Lord. The major Indian newspaper. With plus a color picture of the book. Cover of the book. There's about 5 lakhs worth of space. If you were to buy that advertising space, it costs 5 or 8 lakhs apiece with 4 color. So I guess that's it for the 11th offense. Oh, there's one last point here I seem to have here. This is another practical suggestion how to overcome on page 56. When the mind wanders, one must withdraw it from sense objects and concentrate intently on the mantra. A transcendental sound vibration that can free or deliver tra or chayate, the mind, man, from material attraction and attachment is called a mantra. Meditate deeply on the meaning of the Mahamantra. Do not become distracted by random thoughts or external influences. Chant Krishna's names with feelings of devotion. Lastly, and most importantly, one must turn to Krishna in the mood of a beggar, praying intensely for his mercy. Seeing your sincerity, Krishna will surely reciprocate and capture your full attention once again. And, tomorrow we'll go over more methods of rectification. It's called the 10 defenses. That's what I call them. We have the 10 offenses. Like they say, sometimes in business they say the best defense is a good offense. It's a good motto for wives. And they're being attacked, they should attack back. Best defense is a good offense, but here we have the 10 offenses, and then tomorrow we'll hear about the 10 defenses, which are also forms of rectification or removing of the offense.